Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise God. Like Mike said, Pastor Keith and Debbie Versting are here from Des Moines, Iowa. They drove all the way down here to see us. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, we're glad for each one of you here. Tony and Mary are back. They've been on a round the world tour.
Well, they've been gone for a month.
They've been on a round the world tour. They drove over 6,000 miles on their vacation.
That's amazing.
Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
And I received an email about a seasonal job opportunity with Samaritan's Purse. I don't know how they found us, but they did. It's called Operation Christmas Child, and it says, it's that time of year again. Of course, y'all know that's coming. Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child, has seasonal paid employment opportunities available. We'd like to share them with those you come in contact to help find people who might be called to work with us this season. While we do have many associates that will be returning this year, we have a need for over 100 people, and there are many jobs available in our DFW processing center on both first and second shifts. The processing season, when the associates would actually be working, begins mid-November and runs through mid-December. They're temporary full-time opportunities Monday through Saturday and requires a solid commitment for the duration of the project. Anyway, so as a Christian ministry, we'd like to make these limited opportunities known to qualified members of local faith-based organizations, so that's why we received it. We're currently accepting applications. We'll begin setting up interviews on October 1st. So if you have a desire or that you might want to do this, please email me at tls_ministries@hotmail.com so I can email this to you so that you can fill out the application and get in touch with them, okay? So if somebody wants seasonal work, you got some work. All right, here's some praise. Okay, you know, there was a lady that I think a month or so ago, she lost her sticker for the recycling place, and she was going to have to pay $60 more. Anyway, we prayed. She found it 5 minutes later. Okay, so, yeah. So she misplaced a library book, and it was going to cost her. It was a Christian book about her turning to Christ, Ainsley Earnhardt. And I know it's in my house. I've looked and looked. I'll have to pay a $28 fine if I don't find it by September 21st. And she wrote us on September 17th, "Dear Pastor and Sister Cheryl, I found the missing library book. Thanks for your prayers." Yeah.
Let me ask you all a question. How many of you in here have ever lost something and you couldn't find it and you went and asked God and he showed it to you? Look at this. I mean, everybody here knows how to. Wow. If you lose something, you don't worry about it. You just ask the King where it's at. He'll show it to you. Oh, wow.
Praise That's correct. Okay, and September 16th. Wow, this happened quick. They wanted us to pray on behalf of the husband who was in need of prayers. He was suffering with rails in his lungs. It's like scarring, not as bad as, wait a minute. Maybe I'm reading this the wrong way. Okay, yeah, I am reading it. Okay, he had a problem with the lungs, and he's still, so not as bad as before, thank God. And his kidneys, which he's had problems with in the past, God's miraculously kept him free of problems for a long time. It started bothering him again. He worked on the road. And he tells me that his feet were all swollen and one kidney is hurting. Will you please pray for a supernatural healing? We're both in agreement and for each other's complete healing. We do believe in the power of prayer and agreement of prayer. And I'm so sorry we keep coming to you all the time, but there's really no one else who believes like you do that we know of. And sometimes we need help. We're too far away to visit your church to get prayers for my husband. We know there's no distance in prayer, and the Holy Spirit knows where we are. We do thank God for you and your faithfulness to him, and also for your prayers. May God bless you and keep you as always. You continue to serve him so faithfully. Okay. That was the 17th, right? On the 20th. Pastor Scribner, thank you for your prayers for my husband. He is doing much better, and the swelling in his legs have gone down, and he's able to drive comfortably. Thank the Lord. He is so good. And then she asked for prayers for her mother's eyes because the doctor messed up her eyes. So we prayed for her too. And so with God's... Okay, so we prayed for all that. But she said, thank you again for your prayers. It's always very much appreciated. May God bless you, keep you in his loving care as you continue to do his work helping others. So just within 4 days, his legs, the swelling, the kidney quit hurting.
Amen.
And then... Yes, praise the Lord's right. Thank you, Father. Give him a shout out. Thank you, God. Okay. This one says, wow, wow, wow. Praise the Lord. This email is so long overdue. I heard about your teaching July the 14th and ordered them as soon as I could after that. Additionally, I ordered them on behalf of at least 10 others and passed on your website to at least 15 beyond that. An intercessor friend said she loved your teaching because her husband always came home apologizing after listening to you. Turns out...
You reckon maybe he got a hold of that scripture somewhere that says, husbands, if you don't treat your wife like Christ loved the church, I won't answer your prayer.
It probably could have been. He said, so it turns out the first time I gave a CD to my husband, appreciate your mate, he came home apologizing and confessing like crazy, specifically about not being the spiritual head of our household. He also wrote to you recently, and your words helped him get his healing from psoriasis. Yes. We still see some symptoms, but believe by God's word that he's healed. Even more importantly, since the root of the issue was addressed, he now psoriasis, you hate yourself, okay? He now believes he is fearfully and wonderfully made. So praise the Lord. So your teachings have been changing our family's lives. Let's just say we are living out immediately what you teach and seeing miracle after miracle. When my husband gets home from his commute, we can't wait to talk about what each of us has learned from you that day. Best of all, though, we are loving our time in God's word and our time growing closer to him. The peace, love, joy, wow, fruits of the Spirit and life abundant, John 10:10, like we're meant to live as followers, are truly present now. More specifically, my stigmatism was healed due to Dave's teaching. It prompted me to step out in faith and stop wearing my glasses and then declare the healing publicly. Thanks to Dave, too. We need his email, which I forwarded this to Dave. And I'm on my third week of no glasses since the sixth grade. Yes.
Wow.
My husband's back was healed. His psoriasis was healed. His Crohn's disease was healed. And his walnut allergy was healed. Yeah, and all of those are not loving yourself if you don't know that.
Look here. What was the only difference in this couple's life? They didn't believe the promises. They didn't believe the promises. And whenever they started listening to some old boy, you know, that believes these promises,
yeah,
and starts telling you, you know, now God said this and he meant what he said, so if you'll repent, he'll forgive you and then he'll heal you.
Amen.
And so they do that, they step out in faith, and boy, that's why they can answer that, wow, wow, wow. Don't you love it?
Amen.
I love it to see God do these things for his people.
And then we prayed to get pregnant in July and August, and right away, as we just started trying then, and we did. I'm 8 weeks along now, and we're asking for twins. It will be confirmed. It will be confirmed next week. Then we prayed for my two-year-old's dairy allergy to be gone, and it is gone. And on and on. Okay. So I grew up a follower of Jesus in the Baptist church. I relate a lot to your references of your past. And before listening to your teachings, I truly did not pray or read God's word as I should have. My parents do faithfully, but I don't believe they believe it as they should. I don't see the fruit. My dad's amazing at leading others to Christ, but the kind of faith you're talking about is just not there. Plus, my mom stresses about everything. So as you can see from the length of the email, I'm talking, and God's still teaching me discernment. So I'm asking him daily for wisdom, James 1:5, on how to listen twice as much as I speak. I probably should pray that. When I speak of what is happening in and through us, I'm realizing how wise I have to be about it. I've recently been accused of starting to follow a, quote, prosperity theory mindset by my sister and two of my closest friends. Ouch. Do you get this a lot? I believe they will not be able to argue with the fruits of my life and plan to just keep asking the Lord for wisdom on when to speak and when to stay silent. No casting pearls before swine. In this case, not meaning they're swine, but possibly just not ready to hear it. Any advice on this? So he gave her some advice. Okay. Do you
want me to read the part about the gate community thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And because she asked another question. And so we spoke all this. Okay. Overall, I just want to say thank you. However, there's one area where I'm seeking God and concerned about. I'm concerned about how to love the LGBTQ community, and I'm concerned about how pastors talk about them when they are brought into sermons. Even you. who I adore and respect so greatly, has spoken disrespectfully about them, labeling them as those homosexual types or something unkind like that. I think I'm misquoting you, but I know that I was very sad when I heard you mention them in a way that did not show love or understanding. Anyway, I'm searching the scriptures and very prayerfully considering what loving them looks like, and it's a hard one for me, especially having homosexual brothers. And knowing many stories of kids who are depressed from a super young age, that they're one gender or the other, and they switch genders, they light up and become happier people. I'm not sure what to do with that. I'm not sure how to talk with my Christian friends and family who cannot imagine a God who would not allow gay people to be together. I wonder if there could be some kind of spiritual woundedness that's passed down that people could be born with. And one other question she did ask was, did the sins of the father being passed down to the sons end with the old covenant ending, or does it still apply? Anyway, so sorry for the length of the email. Thanks for your time and for being you.
Praise the Lord.
So he addressed all that with her, and he gave her a lot of scripture to read. And so it even I learned a lot from it. So it was good.
Can you say anything about that before I go on?
Go on.
Okay. All right. This is the last one, and this is kind of an amazing one. Nothing's amazing for God. Y'all are supposed to say no! Okay. Friday night, I was really, really tired, and I went back to bed at 8 o'clock, and I was reading the emails. He was studying, and before 9 o'clock, I was out. I was gone. Anyway, so I read this email. All right. Hello, Pastor Thurman. This is my second time writing to you. The first time I wrote was about my son, Kyler. He has autism. I think he's very young. I think he's like 5. I can't remember. I didn't go back and look. But anyway, I'll be needing a lot of prayer from you. Before I start, I must warn you, my family is a mess. Please just bear with me. Let me tell you a little bit about how my family got saved. We were born in Thailand. We lived in a small village where there was no Christians there. The Lord sent a pastor to our village from a nearby village to preach. My family was the first to get saved. Not long after that, we were baptized when I was 9 years old. And after that, the Lord brought us here to the U.S. And now we kids, all grown up, seem to follow what my parents are doing, are having the same sickness. As I mentioned in the previous email, my mom was and is the man of the house, where my dad does nothing. And we kids, I have one brother and two sisters, are following that same pattern. Last time I told you I don't dominate over my husband, but he and I talked about that, and somehow before Kyler was born, I wanted things to be my way. So I was the dominant one. Then according to what you said, that autism is a result of female dominant over the male in the household. Then it's because of me that Kyler has his sickness. Also, my mother has hepatitis B, and all us girls have it. And I don't know about my brother, because he never had it checked out. And my mom has a temper, and guess what? All we kids have it. That quick anger and temper had passed on to us. I didn't know that these things are generational curses that the Lord puts on us because of our disobedience. The Lord's so kind and so merciful, he led me to your teachings when I was searching for Howard Pittman's testimony. To this day, I listen to your teachings almost every day. The Lord is training me and beating all those promises into my heart, and I'm just so grateful. I've repented all my sins. I know they're forgiven. I'm doing my best to walk in love and obedient to the Word. Now, I know that Jesus had already redeemed me and my family from the curse of the law, because it's written in Galatians 3:13, and he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses in Matthew 8:17. So then we're no longer cursed and have no more sickness. You are my pastor. You just need to pray that prayer of faith, and it's done. We are healed. And, Pastor, would you also pray for me? This is very important right here. I have pain on my right shoulder for about 14 years. Now, we all know the right side is male, right? Now that I study more and more into the Word, the pain has gotten worse. Also, the back of my neck, always tense. If I press the spine just below the neck, I can feel a little bit of pain there. My pastor is Baptist, and because of his unbelief, he cannot pray the prayer of faith for me. My husband is a lost person, so he can't pray for me either. And Pastor, please pray for my husband. He needs to be saved. I need a spiritual leader in the house. And since I've repented of my sins, will you pray for Kyler as well? Thank you, and may the Lord bless you and all of TLSM. Okay, I'm in bed. He's in the office, and so I just say, okay, Lord, you know, remit her sins, John 20:23, and I said, save her husband and heal her son. And I said, Lord, take that pain away from her, because I know she's being stiff-necked toward her husband. Almost all the women that come up that have stiff necks, it's because they're being stiff-necked toward their husband. So I said, take her pain, Lord, just take her pain in Jesus' name. That's all I said. I went to sleep. Okay, next day. Now, you got to understand something. People, when they call right in or whatever, it's like that lady a few weeks ago, she said she stood on Pastor Thurman's faith. She got her back healed or something, wasn't it, like that? Okay. All right. Pastor Thurman, praise God, you prayed, and there's no more pain. I put my son to bed last night about 9:30, and I laid on my left side to face him. My back itched. I couldn't use my left hand to scratch it, so I reached my right hand to the back, and there's no pain. And I was like, wow, praise the Lord, the pain's gone. I kept moving my shoulder in circular motion, and no pain. And the pain in the spine below the neck is gone as well. Praise God Almighty. This means the curse is broken, and the hepatitis virus is no more in my body. Okay, so whose faith was she relying on? Pastor's faith. And she got what she wanted. And I won with him, so it was the same thing. Anyway, so Pastor, I forgot to tell you to pray for God to take away anxiety, fears, issues from Kyler. He didn't have friends. He doesn't talk, socialize with kids, including his brother. And she wanted supernatural abilities for him. And we can ask anything in Jesus' name, according to John 14:13-14. You just need to pray the prayer of faith, and it's done. Thank you. God bless you and all of TLSM. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You have the faith of Jesus Christ in you.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord.
Remember, I was raised a Baptist. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we will not carry everything to God in prayer. Now, I used to sing that in the Baptist church. Then I also sang regularly, Standing on the Promises. Somebody said, what does that mean? I said, I have no idea. No idea what that means, Standing on the Promises. Have you ever seen a miracle? Oh, no. No, no, never. Never seen a miracle. Never seen a healing? Oh, no. Never seen a healing. And then one day when I got back from Vietnam, went back to school, engineering school, I was asked, when I finally moved back down here to go to work in the Dallas area, I went to work for Braniff. And as I was going to church there at Lakeland Baptist Church in Louisville, the church administrator come by. I mean, I'm a good churchgoer. I mean, I go on Tuesday night for visitation. I go on Sunday morning. I go on Sunday evening. I mean, I go on Wednesday night, you know, to prayer meeting. I'm an active man in church. But I never saw an answer to prayer. In fact, one day, the church administrator came up to me and said, I've been praying for a Sunday school teacher for a couple's class and said, your name keeps coming up. I said, well, now I thought this God we serve knew everything. And he didn't make any mistakes. So I said, if my name's coming up, he definitely made a mistake. So anyway, Brother Wayne, he said, well, Thurman, go home and pray about this and see what you can do. So I said, I went home and I said, Lord, I can't do this. I mean, I know I can't. I don't know nothing about this book. I said, now you give me one of them airplane books down there, one of them engineering books on an airplane, I can tell you about that airplane. And I'm sure the Lord would say, yes, you have studied diligently those airplanes and you know them well, but I've given you my word, which takes precedent over those, and you're not studying my word. You don't know anything about my word. So I'm going to give you a Sunday school class to teach, so you're going to be forced to study my word. Because, you know, if it's anything a man don't like, he don't like that he showed up in a class. You know, I mean, when I went in there, in fact, I remember on those Lockheed lectures, that turboprop, one day I was teaching the NTS system on that airplane. I had studied that thing in detail. I mean, I had spent hours and hours studying that airplane and that system, how it worked. I had some old captains in my class one day. You know, these guys that are about 50 years old? Because, you know, back when I was there, you retired at 60. Wow. I mean, so if you were 50, you know, you were old. So anyway, whenever it came to the man wanted me to teach that Bible study class, I'm down there in that teaching this airplane class. And I never forget this old captain. I said, yes, sir, you got a question? He said, no, I'm going to make a statement. I said, what's that? He said, I've been flying that Lockheed Electra for 15 years. I've been back to recurrent class every year for 15 years. And he said, I have never understood that NTS system until today, but today I understand. He said, you are an excellent teacher of the airplane manuals. And I thought, an excellent teacher? Me? I never looked at myself as an excellent teacher or nothing. But he said I was the best teacher he'd ever seen. So I thought, wow, if I can do something that teach a man how to do that, maybe if I study God's Word, I could become a teacher of God's Word.
Amen.
You know, and God did it.
Amen.
And he says, I give you the gift of healing. You can't take, no, don't break my arm. Pat me on the back. I didn't do this. Jesus does this, doesn't he, Keith?
Yeah, that's right.
So anything you can do, you can't take no credit for it. Just like this young man over here a while ago, I was shaking hands and welcomed him. He said, Thurman, you probably heal more people than anybody I know. And I said, oh, wait a minute. I said, I ain't never healed nobody. He said, well, God has healed a whole bunch through you. I said, okay, I will go along with that. But anyway, whenever I was asked to teach that Sunday school class there at Lakeland Baptist Church, I thought, wow. So I started teaching this Bible study class. And as I taught the class, 1 week we had some folks there that, he said, I see that next week we're going to be in this part of the Bible, and it's going to be talking about this guy, Paul. He said, would you give us some input on him before next Sunday? I said, no, I can't do that. I got other things to do, so you'll just have to come back next Sunday. I thought, boy, I had to do something quick to get over that because I don't know who Paul is. Somebody said, you don't know who Paul was? I said, you're absolutely right. There was a time in my life when I did not know who Brother Paul was. I had no idea who he was, what he'd done, and his Damascus Road experience. None of those things. But probably 40 years later, I know a little more about him than I did then.
Yeah.
But I've been in that book. I know a little more about that book now than I did too. But that's just like when I used to come home after studying all day at class. I'd sit down and have a bite to eat with my spouse. And then I would go in and I would get the books out and I would read and learn about airplanes. So I'm going to tell you, if you consume something and you love it and God called you to do it, like for instance, a 4-engine turboprop. At one time in my life, I could have walked up to one of those Lockheed Electras out there at the airport, and it didn't make any of what panel we needed to pull off. It didn't make any of what. You ask me a question about this airplane, you take me inside in the cockpit and set me down there and say, what does that go to or this go to? Or where's the circuit breaker that makes this work? I knew where it was. There was not anything I didn't know about those airplanes. Well, I guess it just accidentally happened. Oh, you don't think it did?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think I did to be able to do that?
Study,
and study some more. You're absolutely right. Hours and hours and hours of study. Mm-hmm. So when I learned that if I can take a book that thick, which is thicker than the Bible, if I can take that book and I can memorize things in there and I can tell you everything about that airplane, and I did it, of course, by thousands of hours of study. If I can do that for an airplane, maybe I could do that for the Word of God.
Amen.
I didn't realize the difference that one of them is a spiritual book and the other is a physical book. So I couldn't get this spiritual book to lock in. I would read it. I know some of y'all are going to associate with me when I tell you I would study the Word of God. I would go teach a Sunday school class. I'd go listen to a pastor teach a great message. Then I'd get up and walk across the street to the chicken place for dinner. Somebody said, where you been? I said, man, I've been to church. They said, you've been to church? What did the preacher have a good message? Oh, he had a great message. What did he preach on today?
They didn't know.
You ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
So what's wrong? Why is that?
I have a spirit of
Jehovah. Yeah, I mean, you know, what is the problem? I didn't have that problem with that airplane book. I mean, I could read that airplane book, and I could almost tell you everything tomorrow, the next day. I could tell you the topic. I mean, I didn't have any problems. I could get it. But finally, one day, I was reading in Ephesians 1 and 3, and I was doing, Paul had the same problem with the preacher he was teaching. And what Paul was doing, I noticed he's saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, give the people, listen, revelation, wisdom, knowledge, understanding of your word. Thank you, Father, for giving the people this information. And I'm thinking, you know, that worked for Paul. Maybe that'll work for me. So I started praying over every class, everybody. And as I started praying, first of all, for myself. Lord, give me revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I want to know this book and what it's the, and after I begin to read and study, tomorrow I still remembered what I read last night.
Yes, hallelujah.
And I thought, you know, this is working. This works. So I thought, I wonder what would happen if I started studying 2 hours a day instead of 1 hour a day. So I continued to pray. And every once in a while you get busy and you run in and you grab your Bible and it's been working so good, you're going to start trying to do something and you forget to pray. All of a sudden you get through studying that for a couple of hours or 3 hours. And the next day, you go back and think, what did I study last night? Why did it go away? Why did it not lock in and stay with me? You didn't pray. You didn't ask for me to give you wisdom. No scripture is a private interpretation, but only as revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit don't reveal it to you, you don't get it. I mean, I've seen men, and I've done it myself, in the process of trying to learn these kind of things. I would take that word, I would read it, I would study it, but I didn't pray over it. I didn't thank the Lord for something, and I would read, and nothing. Have you had people ask you that question? I don't read, when you ask them a question, do you read the Bible? Oh, yeah, I've read it. How many times? Oh, well, I read it once. I read it once, no problem. Well, why don't you still read it? They said, I don't understand it. Have you heard people tell you that?
Yes.
I don't read it because I don't understand it. I said, the problem is you need to get saved.
Amen.
You know, if you're not born again, God will not reveal the Holy Spirit to you through His Word. You've got to read it. You've got to believe it. You've got to pray over it. If you're not getting revelation and wisdom, then you need to ask Jesus to save you. That's just like some of the scriptures that's in the book. How can you read the Bible like I did every day, sometimes hours a day, and when you get through, you don't have any more knowledge in you than you did when you started? We've all done that because we have not prayed over the book. When you realize you have got to pray over the Word for God to give you revelation and wisdom. That's just like the scripture. When I made this book, How to Get a Lost Person Saved. I mean, you have no idea how many hours I agonized over that subject. Lord, how come this man is lost? How come he goes to church, but he don't never walk down the aisle? He don't know nothing. He don't do nothing according to the Word. He hears the Word all the time. I talk to him. He never wanted, when I asked him, would you like to get saved? No, I'm okay. You think, what is wrong with him? And if I walk up to him and say, here, I'm going to give you a ticket for you and your wife to go to Hawaii and back and spend a couple of weeks out there, and here's $10,000 spending money. He has no problem taking that. But it's amazing. So anyway, I begin to pray, Lord, there's got to be a reason this man does not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. So I started praying, Lord, what do I do? How do I get this person saved? Show me the answer. I know every answer to life is in this book. So I've got to know. So one day I'm reading there in 2 Corinthians, and he says, if there's any lost, they're lost because the God of this world has blinded their mind to the truth. I thought, there, I mean, it's just like he just nudged me in the side. There's your answer. If I had never been interested in that, I could have studied this book my whole life and never got that answer. You know that? But I wanted to see people get saved. I mean, didn't he tell us to go out and get people to be saved? So how come you're going out there and telling people how simple it is to be saved and you're not getting nobody saved? I mean, I've seen people that prayed for their mate, their husband, or their wife for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they never got saved. They died and went to hell, living in the same house with them. We see that all the time. So I agonized over that. Lord, I've got to know what's wrong. Why? And then when he showed that to me in 2 Corinthians 4, if there's any loss, that's, if you don't have my book on how to get a lost person saved, we got them back there and they're free, and all these scriptures are in that book. We also got it on CD and DVD. If you haven't ever listened to one of those, listen to one and pray over it. If there's any loss, they're lost because the God of this world blinded their mind to the truth of God's word.
Amen.
When you pray, believe. When I started learning this, when I made this teaching, I was teaching at a Bill Gothard conference down in Big Sandy in East Texas. The Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning that morning and told me, he said, son, that information Bill Gothard wants you to teach today, I want you to lay that down. I want you to teach what I've taught you about how to get a lost person saved. That's going to be your teaching today. And so whenever I told Bill Gothard that I was not going to teach on what he asked me to, that I was going to teach on another subject, he was panicked. I mean, he was in a panic. He said, Thurman, you can't do this. I said, Bill, when the Lord wakes you up at 4 o'clock in the morning and tells you exactly what to talk about, what do you do? He said, you're telling me that God woke you up this morning at 4 o'clock and told you to teach this subject? I said, that's exactly right. You're telling me you heard an audible voice from God and said, this is what you're supposed to do. And I said, yes. He said, Thurman, I've been in the ministry for 50 years, and I've never heard that voice. I said, well, maybe you're not as hard of hearing as I am. I said, I don't know why. I mean, God is God. All I know is God is God. He does what he wants to do, and all I know for sure, whether I was asleep or whether I was in heaven or on earth or where I was, but this morning at 4 o'clock, I heard him tell me what to teach on, and that's what I'm going to teach on. Do you know that you get along a whole lot better with the master if you do what he says?
Amen.
He has a way of making your day miserable if you don't do it right. Doesn't he, Keith?
That's right.
We've all been down that trail.
Yeah.
So anyway, Bill went out front, and he took the first almost half hour, my hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it was, telling people, now Thurman is a man of faith. He don't do things the way most people do things, but you got to be real careful, so listen close. I mean, he was on pins and needles. Yeah. So anyway, it helped him a little bit whenever he came off the platform. He went out there and took Andy, a little boy that was about 20-something years old, that had a back problem, and I had prayed for him over the telephone, and God had healed Andy. And so he had Andy come out and give his testimony to let people know that God really does answer prayer. You know, so, you know, if you're in a place with 3,000 people, and most of them have never heard a supernatural answer to prayer, you got to be careful what you teach, especially if you're going to teach for an hour and a half on nothing but supernatural miracles. And most people have never seen one. But anyway, when you pray, when you teach that, and I'll never forget that night, after I taught that how to get a lost person saved, as Bill come back out and I went off, he shook my hand, and that night we went to dinner. And it was about five PhDs at dinner with us that night. Here I am, Pastor Thurman Scrivener. Actually, I was a deacon at that time. I wasn't even a pastor or nothing, just Thurman Scrivener. Nobody ever heard of Thurman Scrivener. I'd never done nothing. These other guys are guys everybody knew. You know, they're big teachers, doctors of theology, seminary professors, all kinds of good stuff. Wow, whenever you look at that. I'm sitting there at that table with those four or five of them and Bill and me. He looked over me at that dinner table and he said, Thurman, when I get that message that you preached this morning in the hands of 5,000 young men, we'll win the world to Jesus with the knowledge that you put out there. You reckon he was happy with it?
Yeah.
We will win the world to Jesus. Well, as I learned how to do that, Cheryl has been the recipient of seeing me several times. I don't know how many times, 10, 12, 15-year-old boys usually. It happens to girls too once in a while, but usually it's boys. They're stiff-necked boys. You know, they're not like girls. You can kind of tell a girl about Jesus and she'll listen and they get saved. But a boy, you know, you can tell him he's not interested. He's all puffed up. You know, I'm not interested in that stuff. I've had many a young man come in and I bring them up here and I say, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? Not interested. I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. Now, who's it say is blinding their mind? The devil. The God of this world is blinding their mind, or they would hear the word of God and they'd get saved. So I bring them up here and ask them if they want to accept Jesus and they say no. So I put my hands on their shoulders and I take authority with the scripture. I said, according to Luke 10, 19 and 20, Satan, you have to be subject to me. You have to obey me. So in the name of Jesus, I demand and command you to stop blinding this little boy's mind to the gospel. Get out and do not come back. Now, Father, I know that John says that nobody can come into the kingdom except to be drawn by the Spirit. So I'm asking you to reveal to this young boy who you are and that you're going to draw him into the kingdom and you're going to save this boy today in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for that in Jesus' name. I said, now then, son, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? I'd love it. Just that quick and that easy. I love it. Don't you love to see God's word work? And it works. It's amazing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, there is an event that has just taken place that we're all kind of interested in. I think that the scripture I want Cheryl to read, I think, is in 1 Corinthians 15, 52, I believe. What's 1 Corinthians 15? The rapture of the church.
About in a moment, in the twinkling.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's 15:52. Mm-hmm. I want Cheryl to read this to you, and I want you to realize this is where we are in history. Right now, we're enjoying the visitation of the Jewish holidays. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Do you know it could be today? Now, I am a complete, confirmed believer that Jesus will come on Rosh Hashanah, which is just past. When it comes, he's going to come, and this is what it's going to be. We're going to be having a church service or a Sunday afternoon service or morning or Wednesday night or whatever. And all of a sudden, Paul says, let me tell you a secret. Read that, honey.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Read on, Father.
Next. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality.
Read on.
So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Okay. So we're all looking for this magnificent, spectacular event called the rapture of the church. I believe that it's going to happen on Rosh Hashanah, which is a 48-hour day, 2 days. I think that it's going to happen, but I could be wrong. I don't know for sure, but if I am right, we have at least another year. If Jesus does come back on Rosh Hashanah only happens once a year, every year. So maybe if I'm wrong and it can't happen on that day, maybe it won't happen till next year on Rosh Hashanah, or maybe it'll be 5 years from now. But I'm telling you that since it's written in that book, the day is coming when that is going to take place. So if it does take place, what kind of condition do you need to be in if it does happen today? You need to be ready. Did you know that I had a young man tell me here a while back, that's okay, Thurman. I believe the Bible too, but I'm not ready to stop sowing my wild oats. I'm having fun living in sin. I mean, have you ever run into anybody like that? Sure. They're having all kinds of fun living in sin. And then one day, you're driving down the road, and a tire blows out, and you hit a bridge, and the last thing you remember, it was the lights went out, and all of a sudden now you're in a place of darkness and heat and stench, and the demons there saying, it's over. You're in hell, and you're going to be here forever. Is that scary? I don't want to hear that, do you?
No.
I want to be like Don Pepper was. Wasn't that, isn't that his name?
Don Piper.
Don's driving down the road in his little car. He'd just been to a teaching service, teaching the Word of God. It's been raining, road slick. He's driving down the road, and all of a sudden a car pulls out at the end of that bridge. And that truck sees that car pull out, and that truck slams the brakes on, and his little car runs right underneath that truck. And the lights went out. It jerked his right leg, I believe it was his right leg. It cut a 4-inch piece of his leg completely out. It threw his leg over and his arm, jerked one arm. I think it was the left arm, but I'm not sure. It jerked that out of his body and threw his arm over in the back seat of the car. Now, can things really happen quickly?
Yeah.
I mean, here he is, we heard Don tell this, driving down the road, just been to church, going to church, I think it was a Wednesday night, he was going to teach a Bible study at a church, and everything's going great, and he's feeling good. And in one heartbeat, everything went wrong. Now then, if he's prepared, it'll happen just like it did for Don. He was prepared. He said, I opened my eyes and I was in this magnificent, beautiful place. Where do you think he was at?
Heaven.
He was in heaven. And in fact, the Lord told him in a little while, he said, in fact, there was another pastor who came along just a little while after that wreck. And he saw the wreck and all the cars tore up and everything. And he stopped and talked to the police officer and he said, is everybody okay? He said, well, yeah, everybody's okay except the guy in that little car over there. And he's dead. We covered him. The paramedics covered him up with a tarp. He said, okay. So all of a sudden, this pastor hears the Lord say, go over there in that car and pray for the dead man. He said, Lord, that doesn't quite fit my theology. Is that kind of the way we are? But if God tells you to pray for the dead man, what do you do?
Pray for the dead
man. God may not necessarily be trying to prove your theology. It's him and all about him. And if he tells you to go pray for the dead man, and brother, you better get yourself over there and start praying for that dead man.
That's right.
So he went over there and started praying for Don, and he's praying and praying and praying. And he prayed for a long time, and he'd say, Lord, 10 or 15 minutes seemed like an eternity. He said, Lord, is that long enough? He said, no, keep praying. So he kept praying. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And he said, the Lord said, okay, that's enough. In the meantime, for 90 minutes, he had taken Don to heaven. He was showing him all kinds of good stuff in heaven. But anyway, when he said, now Don, I'm going to send you back. He said, Lord, I don't want to go back. Does that sound like a good place to be? He said, but I'm not through with you, and I'm going to send you back, and you're going to have to do some more things for me. And so he sent Don back to the earth. And whenever he, all of a sudden, this pastor that's praying for him down there to get him back to do whatever. He don't even know what. All he knows is God told him to pray. And he is praying. And then all of a sudden, Don starts singing. An hour and a half later, he starts singing. He said, when he started singing, I thought, this guy's been dead for 2 or 3 hours. And I'm hearing a voice. He said, he's singing. So he said, I get up and I go down to the police officer and the paramedic, and I said, you need to go check on the guy in the car. I said, no, he was dead 2 hours ago. He don't need nothing, just wait for the ambulance to get here to haul him off. He said, I'm telling you, the guy's not dead, he's singing. Well, they don't. You have lost your mind. I checked this guy myself. He's dead. His arms laying over in the back seat. His legs got a 4-inch piece jerked out of it. And you're telling me he's alive? So he went over there, and sure enough, when he got over there, Don was singing. They said, this can't be. But let me introduce you if you don't know him. There is an Ephesians 3:20 God. And what does that say he can do?
Exceedingly, abundantly,
above all you can even think or imagine. So, you know, you need to get over your unbelief junk. And you need to start believing everything God tells you to do. But anyway, when we was with Don, he told us, he said that, in fact, no, he wasn't down at the restaurant that night, was he?
No, he wasn't.
Somebody else asked. That's right. So he didn't show up. We just got this second hand. But anyway, the other two men were there.
Yeah.
We got to visit with two of the three. One of them went to hell. Bill Weiss went to hell. And I mean, the last thing you want to hear, Lord, where am I? You're in hell. You are in hell. Wow. That's so sad. So this time that we're celebrating right now, the Jewish holiday, the beginning of the Jewish year, which just started, Yom Kippur, Jesus, I believe he'll come back on Rosh Hashanah and do his thing And one day, when it's time, you won't hear nothing. It's going to happen so quick. Bam. And you and me are going to be gone. If you're driving a car, the car will be driving itself. Do you know, I think it was Delta. I'm not sure, but I think it was Delta. They used to have a CEO. I believe it was Delta. They used to have a CEO that was a Christian. And he believed this part of the Bible to be literal. And so while he was the CEO, he would not let two believers fly an airplane together. Because he said, we got our customers on here. And he says, if our customers, we know they're not all Christians. You can just tell that. So we're going to have a pilot, you know, that's going to be a Christian and one that's not a Christian, so that if the rapture comes and the one that's a Christian is gone, there will be another man in the cockpit that'll be able to land the airplane and not kill everybody, because he knows they're all going to die. You know, that was, I think that was Delta, but I'm not sure. Any of you ever heard this story before? I don't know whether. But you got to be ready. One thing for sure we do know. It is going to happen. Yeah. Yeah. Cheryl just read it to us in the book. That the Lord is coming with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then those of us which are alive and well are going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And we're there, forever we're going to be. Now that could happen. That could happen today. I could have a glitch in my theology about it only going to happen on Rosh Hashanah. Now I don't think I'm wrong, but I could be. I'm not 100% sure. But if Jesus comes today, are you ready today? If you're not ready today, then guess what you need to do?
Get ready.
You need to get ready. And you need to make sure that you've told all your loved ones the truth. And make sure you prayed over them. Because some of the people that you know and love, they've got their own little agenda going on and they don't want to believe. I mean, I had an uncle. I mean, my dad's oldest brother. I mean, he was the only black sheep in the family. All the rest of them, my dad's dad and mother and everybody in our family were believers, except my dad's oldest brother. He didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. His wife, she had other things to do. She didn't want to, later in her life, though, she did come back across and believe in Jesus. But I remember going to his house after his wife died and sitting down there with him and said, Uncle Lloyd, Jesus, I said, he was in his 70s or 80s about that time, somewhere way back there. I said, you know, one day Jesus is going to come back. I said, I don't know when that's going to be, but I said, one day you're going to die. I do know that for a fact. I said, I don't know how long you're going to live, but the Bible says it is appointed unto man to die and then the judgment. So I said, I know you're going to die. So I said, you need to get right with God. Oh, he said, Thurman, I don't need that. He said, you and your dad, y'all need that Jesus stuff, but I don't need that. I said, Uncle Lloyd, everybody needs Jesus. We're all going to die. Nah. He said, everything's going to be okay. His eyes was blinded by the God of this world. I had no idea how to get it changed. I didn't have that kind of knowledge. But anyway, I pleaded with him. I begged him to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He would not. A few years later, his sister, which she's still alive today, his sister and her husband, they were called down to the rest home where he was at and told they needed to take him to Temple to the doctor. So they loaded him up in the car and they took him to Temple. doctors checked him and said, we can't find nothing wrong with him. Ain't nothing wrong with him. He's got these pains and problems. Doctors check everything. Nothing works. Nothing wrong. Doc said they just can't find nothing wrong with him. So they get in the car and start back home. They're driving along the road there, going back from Waco to Goldthwaite. All of a sudden he says, Sis. She said, what's wrong, Lloyd? He said, look at them ugly things. They're coming to get me. She said, what do you mean? Look at that ugly thing. Look at that, the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. He's coming for me. Look at him. He's coming. And he's screaming. They're coming for me. And then he died. What do you think that was he was seeing?
Demons of hell.
Those were the angels of death, demons of hell, that had been sent to bring him to his dwelling place forever. And that's hell. All he had to do, and I won't tell you this, Cheryl was there and saw this herself. Her own daddy was on that same trip. Her daddy was dying and going to hell, and I got to see it. She was asking the Lord for a direction. I don't know if my daddy's saved, so Lord, I got to know today, somehow, some way, you got to show me if my daddy's saved. She loved her daddy. She wanted him to go to heaven. He wanted to go to heaven, but he didn't believe the Bible was true. So we prayed. And when I started praying, I'll never forget that night. As I leaned over on that bed and put my knees on the side of that bed, as soon as I did, I saw her daddy falling backwards into the pit of hell. I saw that. I mean, it was happening. Cheryl knew something was wrong because I never cry for nobody. I mean, I realized when we die, we die. But that night, I was seeing a man being put into hell, her daddy. So Cheryl saw me break into tears and cry profusely, screaming, Howard, call on the name of Jesus. Howard. Cheryl's over there saying, yes, Daddy, call on the name of Jesus. Amen. She knows that's good ground. She don't know what's going on, but she knows that that's good ground. All of a sudden, her daddy said, Jesus. Scripture says, anyone that calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Is that what it said?
Yes.
That's all it took was that one word, Jesus. And all of a sudden, the light from heaven came down, illuminated Howard's body, and Howard leaned over forward. And he's just like Superman. His hands went out like this, and he's when he was gone into the heaven above. And we know he made it because Cheryl got to see. I don't know how she saw this, but she saw her daddy come back and get her mother. So she knew that he's in heaven.
Amen.
She knows that.
Well, he came and talked to me 2 months later too.
Do what, honey?
He came and talked to me 2 months later.
Oh, okay.
Tell me he was with Jesus.
I'll tell you what, when somebody makes a mistake, the thing about it is, don't make that mistake.
That's right.
I mean, don't wait until, you know, you're at the end of your rope and think, well, maybe I'll go ahead and do this. Because I'll tell you what, the other day, whenever I had that twisted intestine and I had to go to the hospital in Denton, when that doctor put that needle in my arm, or actually put it in the plastic tubing that was in my arm, when I asked him, I said, is there anything you can do to lessen this pain? I was in excruciating pain. I mean, with two twisted intestines, I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it knowing that they could fix me if I just say, okay, that I ain't gonna make it very good. I'm a wimp. I'm have to tell you, I was a wimp. But anyway, I couldn't stand it. The pain was so severe. So I just said, what can you do to lessen this pain? He said, are you ready? I said, I'm ready. And he said, in 10 seconds, you won't remember anything. And let me tell you, I don't remember even quoting the last word. I mean, I was out and gone. And for 4.5 hours, I was completely out. I didn't know where I was. All I know, I was in the hospital. I couldn't feel nothing, see nothing, or hear nothing. But they were there with my intestines cut open, cut a 4 or 5 inch gap in my side right there and took all my guts out and laid them on my stomach and washed them out. Cleaned me out. But boy, did it feel good when I woke up. Isn't that amazing? You know how easy it would be not to wake up? It's really easy. And all something's got to do is just go wrong. And you can be gone forever. You never wake up. In fact, I had already signed a piece of paper. If you don't wake up, do you want us to shock you? I said, no. If I don't wake up, I want to go home to be with Jesus. Can you think of a better place to go? I knew where I was going. There was no doubt in my mind. I knew that the King was sitting there beside that bed holding my hand. Didn't we know that?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When you learn the Word of God and you practice the Word of God and you do what it says, it will work. Praise the Lord, it will work. Now then.
We have a baptism.
Yes, I know we do. We have a baptism that we're going to, this young lady we're going to baptize, if you will get your stuff on and go back there in the kitchen, we'll be ready. Have we got the water?
It's all ready.
Warm water's all ready. Okay, so they got the warm water all there, and we get this girl back in there. And then in just a minute, we will go in there and baptize her.
She's ready, huh?
Okay. Well, we're gonna go back there, and we're going to baptize this girl. And as soon as we get her baptized. Whatever you do this week, tell somebody about Jesus. You don't want to not be ready. You want to be ready. So anyway, we'll go back here and we'll baptize this girl. Then we'll come back in here. And after we come back in here, we'll have our prayer warriors line up. And any kind of prayer you need, we'll find you one of them. And they'll pray with you. And if you don't have any needs at all, you're in good shape. You've done everything that's required. Well, you're dismissed. If you want to be shopping around, get you some CDs and DVDs, take them home with you, listen to them this week, you're dismissed, okay?